show you don't want to miss.
The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big.
Think big.
It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker-Campbell taking you through the weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We are so glad you are along with us. You don't want to miss our next interview because we're going to be talking with Patrick Livingston. He is the PGA professional, the CEO of National Golf Schools. And Patrick, finally, spring is here, and it is beautiful right here in the state of Texas in Fort Worth. How are you doing?
Yeah, just fine. We had kind of a cool winter, but it's gotten beautiful now. Golfers are out there. We've had some, you know, great golf schools, and naturally, it's the beginning of the great golf season at Augusta National.
And our listeners, then, may not realize you're a Florida resident, correct?
Yeah, we're based in Orlando, Florida. We have, we're at the Reunion Resort, which is, you know, the finest resort in Orlando, if I do say so myself. Three great golf courses, Nicholas Watson and Palmer, only place in the country where you can play those same architects at one property.
Well, we've got a number of things that we've got to discuss. We do want to take time to just step back and recap the magical Masters. Of course, Mickelson seizing the moment, captures the Masters for the third time. Just your impressions of the overall weekend. I know that you were there.
Yeah, I was. It was a magical 4 days. And I've been to a number of Masters in the past, but this had so many dramatic turns to it. You've got the return of Tiger Woods, which is a drama himself. Mickelson coming to a place that he loves, and he acknowledged that. He told anybody that would listen to him that this is his most favorite golf venue. He loves coming to the Masters. He rolls down the Magnolia Lane, and he feels like he's at home. And he really did. He played magnificent golf and just a great, great tournament.
Was there one particular hole that kind of stands out in your mind the most? Because he really did play and had some spectacular shots.
They were absolutely. He had three eagles during the event, and probably the most spectacular shot was a birdie. He is clearly in the hunt. He was on 13 behind two pine trees in the pine cones that were there.
Yes.
And had a 205 yard shot. He pulled out a 6-iron and threaded it through two pine trees over Raised Creek, 4 feet short of the hole. I ended up missing the putt, but made birdie. And that probably, there's a lot of key points in a round of golf, but that was one of the, very, very key points of the round.
Well, the ball took a perfect trajectory. I thought it was just fantastic. You talk about that 6-iron, but I like the fact he just seemed so self-assured, and I know that he had told his caddy, Bones, that, I'm going to go for it.
Well, he did. He talked to him, and he felt that he had the right distance, 205. He had the right club in his hand. All he had to do was make a shot. And in the pine cones, like at Pine Needles, you need to have the ball setting up. If you're setting down, it's difficult to make solid contact. It was a good lie, and to his mind, all he had to do was hit a 205-yard shot with his 6-iron, which he does, in his sleep, and he'd be okay. Well, that thing landed about 7-8 feet past Wraith Creek and came up just 4 feet short of the hole. It was just a miraculous shot. But, equally so, I followed him, and there was a lot of people around, but I followed him on 8, 9, and 10. And he hit three of the worst drives, known to mankind. None of the three were remotely close to the fairway. Any one of the three, he just could have been trapped and had no opportunity to make any kind of shot. In each of those three, one time he hit it on, but the other two times he played smart, got it down into a little wedge, hit his incredible short game shots, got it up and made par on 8, 9, and 10. And that really kept him in the hunt. If he'd bogeyed one or two of those holes, he would have been three down going into the back nine, actually to Choi and Westwood at that time. Instead, he was one behind and just came on and then played a wonderful back nine that, it storied Augusta National.
You're listening to the voice of Patrick Livingston, of course, PGA professional, the CEO of National Golf Schools. We do want to pause and direct you guys to their website. That, of course, is nationalgolfschools.com. Just real briefly, kind of get us up to date. How are things going with that, Pat?
Things are great. We're up to 95 locations now. We have 20 at great resorts in Florida. Just prior to the Masters, I'd actually gone up to Pinehurst and had a golf school with three guys down from Boston. We played three rounds at Little River, which is a great Dan Maples course there.
You have been there, yes.
That's right. You have been.
We have. We stayed there, yes.
That's a great little resort. Through our connections, we went over and played the number two at Pinehurst, which is, the big course there. And then went and played a course that is a lot of people probably hadn't heard about, probably haven't played, but played Pine Needle. Pine Needles has had two or three women's national opens there. Peggy Bell Kirk is the proprietor and just a charming lady. She's 82 years old.
Hey, we stayed there last year, too, at Pinehurst.
Isn't that a wonderful place? I mean,
yes.
And she is such a charming woman. She's got stories going down to Babe Zaharias and, all of them great golf stories, and it was really a treat. It was kind of a bonus for our golf school people. A lot of times what we'll do, if you come in for a three-day school, we'll schedule a round before or after, and of course you wanted to play. In this case, we scheduled two, and it just ended to be a great, great way to do a golf school.
Yes, our past two summers, we've been out there. Our son played in the U.S. Kids National, and we had a great time. That's a wonderful place to go in the summer. Again, we are talking to Patrick Livingston, PGA professional, the CEO of National Golf Schools. We've got some more cool things that we are going to be sharing with you. But let's go back, talking a little bit more about the Masters, of course. How can we forget the picture that all of us have in our mind is him sinking that 8-foot birdie putt on the 18th hole to clinch his third Masters championship, but the tearful embrace with his wife, Amy, who's been battling breast cancer, and all the three kids all around. I mean, that just really tore your heart.
It was amazing. And I'll tell you, there may have been 25,000 people, on 18 there. Half of them had a tear in their eye. I mean, the emotion was so thick, you could cut it to the knife. Joy and, just a great, great feeling, this had happened. And actually, she had not been there. She'd not been out to a tournament since May of last year because, of the cancer that she's fighting so, gallantly. And it was amazing to have her out there and the three kids and having an embrace like that at the end of the tournament. It was just, you look at him and his smile and his body language was just amazing. It was a treat to be there and see that in person and really kind of feel the emotion that was going on.
It was an intimate moment that was shared by so many, very special and such a great way to finish out that tournament. And also the fact that, Phil Mickelson, everyone's talked so much about Tiger Woods and all the things that he's been going through emotionally, but, here Phil Mickelson with his wife battling cancer, and then also his mother has been undergoing breast cancer treatment as well.
Well, it's true. And Phil was so open about it. Every press conference, he had talked about, the therapy she's going through, how they're fighting it, how long-term things look good. Short-term, they've had to adjust their life, and they're doing the best they can with really, just a scary, the C word is just a scary word. And for him to, take care of his family, be supportive, and then play the competitive golf that he did was just amazing. And he was open with the press. I mean, he talked about this from the heart, and it was, kind of a contrast to what, how Tiger Woods was approaching his return. They'd put out the commercial with his dad's voice in the background, which was a big dud, and just didn't make any sense at all. And then even though he had a 33-minute press conference on Monday at the Masters, it was still a guarded, control type of a press conference rather than really opening up and saying, I'm changing my ways and, I've made a gigantic mistake and et cetera, et cetera. And I kind of hate to say this, but I have some very good connects to, to their family in Orlando, and there's no question that she's going to file a divorce. That may not be in print yet, but that is what's going to happen.
Really? Because from what we've understood, at least out in this particular area, that perhaps they were working things through, and hopefully they can keep their family intact, but certainly very disappointing to even see the outburst that Tiger Woods was having. And, certainly, we don't expect him to be perfect. It's going to take some while. I think he still has a lot of growing up to do. I sided with CBS's Jim Nantz chastising Tiger for his behavior and some of the outbursts. I mean, I have to tell you, when my 8-year-old's sitting alongside me and watching the Masters, and then he's saying, Tiger, you suck, that's not the kind of self-talk that we want to teach our youngsters. Do we?
No. Then right after the press conference, and on Monday, he said he was going to change his ways and watch what I do, not what I say. And unfortunately, he did. And there's still a lot of growing up there.
Patrick Livingston is along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Let's talk about some of the other positive storylines at the Masters. And how about Freddie Couples? I mean, it feels good to be 50. He was trying to become the oldest player to win a major, and I thought he had a wonderful stretch.
How can you not love Freddie Couples? I mean, he is he's a darling. Men love him. Women love him. He says the right thing at the right time. He's like a big teddy bear. You just want to hug him sometimes. But, he had a real chance to win this tournament. He was right up there in the top 10 in greens hit. He just had a one little bad stretch second day where he bogeyed 16, 17, 18, and he wasn't making excuses, but he did say he just got a little tired on those three holes and made some loose swings. Missed some putts. Every pro misses putts, so he missed a pocket full of short putts that would have had him right in the punt right down to the last hole.
Well, the play of Fred Couples, KJ Choi, I thought did a fantastic job. Well, I mean, he just had quiet, solid, you know, veteran play.
Choi did. He was leading the tournament with eight holes to go. And he just, he had, again, had some loose shots on the back nine, really, you know, uncharacteristic of him. He's a steady player. He got himself in position, you know, missed on 13, hit it over. A gimme birdie hole he makes a bogey on. That's not the KJ Choi that we know. Or how about, Kim? My goodness. He had that place alive with his run on Sunday, shooting 65 and just, you know, enjoying golf, hitting great shots. After a rough year, he had really a tough year. He, you know, went from one of the elites of the young players to losing his swing, not winning for a year, and then finally won at Houston and had a great, great Masters.
And, of course, Anthony Kim from this area, and we like the fact he's a Boomer Sooner guy. He played golf at OU, but I agree with you. I mean, he offered really a glimpse of what he could become, that late charge with a third-place finish.
A third-place finish, and just he definitely has all the shots. And it he just had a we had about a a 6 or 8 month lapse there where he got off his game. I mean, 2 years ago he was more than a rising star. He'd already arrived, but then he lost it for a short period of time. But he's clearly got it back now, and just nothing but good things for him. And you can look at a lot of different places. Players, Watson's 67 on opening day. The man can't be 60 years old, can he? But he looks like he's a classic swing from when he was 40.
Absolutely. And he's got an invite. He's going to be in the U.S. Open. Is that correct?
Yes. And justifiably so.
Patrick Livingston is along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. One guy I have to ask you about, I know you have a great relationship with, is Jim Furyk. He didn't make the cut. What's going on with Jim's swing?
Jim is struggling. And his swing is a problem, but his putting has been atrocious. He's always been a top 10 putter on the tour. And he's ranked 100th and something in putting now, and that was always his strength. He hits the ball an average length, so you have to be a good putter and have a good short game to be competitive. So he's just lost those putting skills. And if you're not putting quite as well as you should, you're going to put a little more pressure on your shot, on your iron shots going in, and that just multiplies itself to put a little more pressure to hit the drive a little bit further so you can hit the iron a little bit better. Then all of a sudden you're having tough rounds of golf and not trusting your swing, and it just kind of goes the other way.
Well, perhaps, Jim, he needs to go to your national golf schools, right?
I'm not going to get him in there. I was looking at a clinic not too long ago. He's come out to Reunion Resort a number of times to do clinics out there. He's an incredible gentleman, no question about it. And actually, the last time he was out, he was working on new irons from Slazenger, Frexon, and they're building some clubs to fit his needs, and he had three or four of the prototypes out in range and just, discussing what they're trying to do for him to keep the ball a little lower. Most people are trying to get the ball high. They're trying to change the center of gravity on the irons to get a little lower shot, a little boring shot, into the wind and, trajectory. So it's kind of fun to do the clinic with him, clearly, but even more fun to get into his mind and find out what he's trying to do to help his game.
As we get ready to shift avenues, we do want to zero in and focus on your national golf schools. Of course, your wife, Sally, she's got a national golf schools, too. We want to talk about that. It's exclusively for women. But just kind of, what do you think the forecast is in terms of with Tiger, that he has gone ahead and what entered with the U.S. Open? I mean, how do you think he's going to be received in not such a tight atmosphere where there's such scrutiny and security? I mean, how do you think it's all going to play out for the remainder of the year?
No, believe it or not, he's going to be well-received.
Are you surprised at that, though, Patrick? Are you surprised?
I was surprised, but I mean, he received nice applause, the tees. He just had great applause when he came to the greens, and when he did something, when he birdied a hole, it was like the old days. But I was really surprised by the general reception, which was very warm, very good, and I think it's a major hurdle that he's gotten through that, and save for the one jerk that might say something at any point in time. I think the golfing public wants to get back to birdies and pars rather than Cadillacs into trees.
Hey, Patrick Livingston is along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We do want to take time to recognize our premier corporate sponsor, and that is our friends at Western Company of Texas. They are posted on our website. That is eradiosports.com, and we love to send those tweets out. Join us on Twitter, /eradiosports. Patrick Livingston, he is the CEO of National Golf Schools. He's got 95 schools. It's not just here nationally, internationally. And you guys just picked up a brand new school in what, French Lick, Indiana. Indulge us. Tell us about it.
So, French Lick, Indiana is just, it's home of Larry Bird for all you basketball fans out there.
We know that.
Hey. That's right. You should know that with
That's
all your
right.
broadcasting. All right. So, what a great town. It's in the middle of Indiana, and it really has a history. In the old days, the mobsters would come down from Chicago. They'd have their gambling, their casinos, the Broadway plays, two great golf courses. It was really a great place, and it kind of went into disarray. And now it's come back 100. It's been 100%. They've spent a considerable amount of money getting Pete Dye in there to redo a couple of the golf courses. The hotel, one of the hotels, is just it's an incredible hotel. It's built in the late 1800s, and it's about 10 stories, and it's domed with with a skylight over a venue of about the size of a football field. And they only have, one room on the inside of this dome and one room, a series of rooms on the outside. And it's in a manicure landscaped arena. It's really a phenomenal location. You've got all that history, good golf courses. It's a wonderful place, and we'd love to have you there or one of the other, 94 locations we have.
Well, I have spent time in the summer in Indiana, and that is a beautiful state, a great place to go. I know many people here in Texas, we like to head south and head to Florida. Tell us about your schools that you have right there in Florida, and perhaps if someone wants to go to Disney World, what do you have close by?
Yeah, we're at the Reunion Resort. It's 2,300 acres. You have three championship golf courses. You have a water park. You have three ranges. You have six restaurants. You have a restaurant on top of a hotel where you can see Disney. It is just a great, great location. You're 15 minutes away from Disney. Wonderful golf, wonderful place for the family, incredible tennis. But again, the highlight is three championship golf courses by Palmer, Watson, and Nicklaus. And you have an opportunity to have any kind of lodging you want. You could have a one-bedroom hotel room, or you can have a seven-bedroom, seven-bath hotel on the golf course with a pool and jacuzzi. It's just a incredible way to do a school. If four guys want to come down or eight women want to come down, we can put them in one house and take good care of them. We have LPGA pros there. I do most of the teaching there. It's a wonderful, wonderful spot, and I'm inviting all of you to come to Orlando, enjoy our school, and enjoy all the attractions that Orlando has.
Okay, someone's tuning in today. They're dialing in, and they're saying, you know what? I do want to make this happen. I want to make it a reality. Do they just log on to your website? How do you go about making reservations?
Go right to the webpage. It's nationalgolfschools.com, and it is it's woman friendly. It's one of my wife's women's national golf school locations, which means it has a spa. It has all the amenities that women golfers would like, and it's the last golf school we had there. We had four women in, had a great time, took advantage of all the great amenities there, and it's a great location.
Tell us some more about your wife, Sally, as far as her golf schools and that it is geared specifically for women.
Well, it's the largest golf school in the world for women. We have she has 28 locations. 25 of them are in the U.S. They're at, for example, the Broadmoor in Colorado Springs, at the Reunion Resort in Orlando, the Bonaventure in Fort Lauderdale. They are just wonderful resorts all through the country that are geared to women. Again, that means, spa services, a lot of the things that women like to have. It's a wonderful way to do it. And it's the only multiple location, women's golf school in the world. And she's an executive with Executive Women's Golf Association. And they are 100% behind her. That's 18,000 executive women golfers around the country. As a matter of fact, she just came back from Pinehurst, where they had their national meeting and national tournament, 400 very good golfers and interesting women, and there was a lot of talk about them coming to some of Sally's schools.
Patrick and Sally Livingston, that's a power couple in itself when you talk about the game of golf, right?
Well, if you want to know a little about golf, we definitely do. And you you're ever looking for us, you know where to find us.
NationalGolfSchools.com. Find out more information. Patrick, thank you so much for stopping by. And we look forward to catching up with you when you come through Fort Worth.
Sounds great. Looking forward to talking to you. We have some great majors coming up, maybe the most classic of major golf courses throughout the year. I'd love to talk to you about them.
Absolutely. Stick around. We've got much more straight ahead. Jason Peter is going to be joining us. We're going to be talking about the upcoming NFL draft. Stay close.